Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Renaissance Global Limited discussion on Q1 FY27 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Shweta from Centrum Broking. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Ananya. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the Renaissance Global Q1 FY27 earnings conference call. We have with us Mr. Sumit Shah, Chairman and Global CEO, Ms. Darshil Shah, Managing Director, and Mr. Jagdish Bhandari, Manager of Corporate Strategy. We would like to begin the call with a brief opening remark from the management, followed by a question-and-answer session. Now, I would like to invite Mr. Sumit Shah to make his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us for Renaissance Global's Q1 FY27 earnings call. I'm pleased to share that we have commenced FY27 with strong business momentum supported by healthy revenue growth, improved profitability, and operating leverage. During the quarter, our revenue grew by 30% year-over-year to 690 crores, while EBITDA increased by 22% to 50 crores. Profit after tax grew sharply at 288% year-over-year to 26 crores. This performance reflects disciplined execution across the business and reinforces our confidence in the strategic transformation of Renaissance Global from a traditional jewelry manufacturer into a global high-margin branded jewelry platform. Our portfolio of three differentiated direct-to-consumer brands, Rondussé, With Clarity, and Enchanted Disney Fine Jewelry, provides us with a strong platform to participate in the large and attractive U.S. luxury direct-to-consumer market. Rondussé continues to be an important growth driver within our branded portfolio. Positioned at the luxury end of the lab-grown diamond jewelry market, we are scaling the brand through an integrated digital and physical retail strategy. Following the encouraging response to our New York store and the opening of our San Francisco store location in July 2026, we currently operate three Rondussé retail stores, and during FY27, we intend to add four more locations. We believe this measured retail expansion will deepen Rondussé's presence across important luxury markets in the U.S., enhance customer engagement, and over time, increase the contribution of our higher direct-to-consumer margin to revenues, profitability, and earnings. With Clarity, our digital-first fine jewelry brand also continues to demonstrate strong momentum. The brand is benefiting from its established online platform, expanding customer reach, and technology-led operating model. Finally, our licensed brand, Enchanted Disney Fine Jewelry, is progressing well too, supported by a renewed strategic focus and healthy growth across key channels. Together, these three brands give us a differentiated value proposition across customer segments and provide multiple avenues for long-term growth. Alongside the expansion of our branded portfolio, working capital optimization and cash flow are key priorities for us in FY27. The initiatives currently underway are expected to deliver working capital improvements of approximately 250 crores in the current financial year and generate cash flow from operations of more than 300 crores during the year. We expect these measures to strengthen our balance sheet, improve capital efficiency, and drive meaningful improvement in our return ratios. Looking ahead, our strategic direction remains clear. We remain committed to achieving 1,000 crores of direct-to-consumer revenue by FY29 with an operating margin of at least 15% from this segment. As the contribution from our higher-margin branded business increases, we expect the benefit from structural operating leverage. This should significantly expand our EBITDA and has the potential to drive multifold increase in the company's overall earnings over the coming years. We therefore enter the remainder of FY27 with confidence. Our growing portfolio of global brands, disciplined retail expansion strategy, focus on profitability and continued emphasis on cash flow enhancement positions Renaissance Global well to deliver sustainable and profitable growth. Our objective remains to build a stronger, more valuable and increasingly brand-led global jewelry business while creating long-term value for all our stakeholders. With that, I'll now hand over the call to Darshan to discuss operational and financial performance in greater detail. Thank you.
Thank you, Sumit, and good afternoon, everyone. I will take you through the key financial and operational highlights for the first quarter of FY27. We have started the year on a strong note with healthy growth across the business, a sharp improvement in profitability and continued progress on working capital efficiency. Starting with revenue, our revenue excluding bullion sales grew by 30% year-on-year to 690 crore compared with 530 crore in Q1 FY26. Importantly, the underlying growth was broad-based with healthy contributions from our brand and customer brand businesses. Coming specifically to our own brand, revenue increased by 29% year-on-year to reach 89 crore from 69 crores in the corresponding quarter last year. The continued growth of our own brand is particularly encouraging as we progressively increase the contribution of our higher margin direct-to-consumer business to the overall portfolio. Moving to EBITDA, EBITDA increased by 22% year-on-year to reach 50 crore compared with 41 crore in Q1 FY26. EBITDA from owned brands grew to 11.5% from 10% in Q1 FY26. Profit after tax increased by approximately 280% year-on-year to reach 25.6 crore compared with 6.6 crores in Q1 FY26. While the previous year quarter had included a restructuring cost, the current quarter also demonstrates a meaningful improvement in the underlying profitability of the business. Profit before exceptional items grew by 40% year-on-year to 29.7 crores, reflecting the strength of the operating performance. Another important area of progress during the quarter has been working capital management. Our working capital efficiency improved meaningfully during the quarter, with working capital days reducing to 220 days from 253 days in Q1 FY26, representing an improvement of 33 days year-on-year. This is an important milestone for us and reflects the initiatives we've been undertaking across inventory, receivables and overall capital efficiency. As Sumit mentioned, working capital optimization and operational cash flow generation remain key priorities for FY27, and we expect further progress through the course of the year. Overall, Q1 FY27 reflects a healthy start to the year, with 30% revenue growth, strong growth in own brand, and 47% growth in own brand EBITDA, a sharp increase in PAT and EPS, and meaningful reduction in working capital days. We believe these trends provide a strong foundation as we continue to scale our branded and D2C businesses while maintaining a disciplined focus on profitability, cash flow generation and return ratios. With that, we can now move on to the question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ashok Shah from Eklavya Invesco Family Office. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. Sir, as first quarter was excellent, could we extrapolate and similar or still growth will come or more growth will come during the year?
Yeah, thank you for your question. So, you know, we've begun the year with very strong revenue and bottom line momentum. We expect to continue this momentum to continue through the course of the year. As previously communicated, you know, we plan to exit certain business verticals and lines which are below cost of capital to optimize inventory. So while revenue growth may not continue at this momentum, we expect bottom line to be equal to or greater than the current momentum that we've experienced after restructuring charges.
Secondly, sir, our major business in export is to USA. So, did we get any tariff refund or something like that?
Not yet. You know, we are in the process of applying for tariff refunds, and you know, we do expect to get some refunds for tariffs. I think we will have to obviously share some of those refunds with our customers as well. So, you know, we will. I think we should know more in the coming quarter.
So, what could be that about? Approximate idea or rough idea?
We don't have that data yet. We are still in the process of getting the application together and putting it through. So, we'll be able to provide more details in the coming quarters.
Or if I ask differently, how much tariff was paid during this tariff increase?
So we are not ready to share the numbers yet. I would request you to wait for one more quarter before we are able to share these numbers.
Okay, thank you, and best wishes for current year next 3 quarters. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manpreet Arora from Arora Wealth Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, and good afternoon. Sir, first question is on the, you know, initiatives you talked about reducing working capital by 250 crores. Now, if you can, you know, drill down a bit more on the initiatives, I think you mentioned about existing businesses, optimizing and inventory. If you can provide a little more details.
So I think the working capital initiatives are focused around two areas. One is inventory reduction and you know, sort of receivables as well. You know, I think that over the last 24 months, we've restructured the organization and reduced operating expenses by about 45 crores annually. With this reduction in manufacturing capacity, it to align with the lab-grown diamond realities, we are now in a position to exit certain lines of businesses where, you know, consignment days are very high or receivable days are longer. So we made a strategic decision to exit certain customers, which would actually lead to meaningful reduction in working capital. While doing that, we've sort of, you know, ensured that this should not have any impact on our bottom line. These would be businesses where, you know, the cost of capital would be higher than the EBITDA generated. So these would be low quality businesses which we plan to exit, and I think that would largely result in working capital reductions during the course of FY27. We expect to fully realize these benefits by the end of the current financial year.
Okay, great, great. So just to understand you right, we may not see a lot of revenue growth this year, but we'll probably see margin expansion and good, better cash generation this year. Is that the right way?
Yes, our expectation is to that bottom line should grow more than 30% for the year. Revenue growth may be muted because, you know, as stated earlier, we are exiting certain unprofitable lines of businesses, and, you know, on an annualized basis, this will result in an approximately 300 to 400 crore reduction in revenue. The customers that we are exiting would result in a 300 to 400 crore reduction in revenue. We don't expect this to have a meaningful impact to our bottom line. In fact, we're projecting greater than 30% growth for our bottom line for the current year.
Right. So which segment will this reduction happen in?
The customer brands. Absolutely, yes. The licensed brands and the own brands are high margin businesses. The customer brand segments have certain areas where the working capital requirement is very high. So we focused on these specific customers where we would like to reduce exposure and reduce working capital involvement. And I think it's a good time to sort of exit these businesses because raw material prices have gone up. So the exit costs from inventory is also almost negligible or zero, as the value of the inventory would have gone up due to the fact that the price of gold and silver has gone up meaningfully.
All right. So my next question, thank you for that. Next question is on the licensed brands. Now, we have seen that over FY24, 25, 26, the revenues have come down and also a bit, similarly on the margins, on FY24, we were 15.5%, then it came down to 14.5%, now 13% in FY26. And in this quarter, we are now 10.9%. So what is really happening in the license brands vertical?
So on the licensed brand segment, we were operating a very wide portfolio of brands. And, even within this portfolio, what we've done is we've rationalized some of the licenses, and the focus going forward is going to be primarily on the Disney relationship and the Disney license. So there are obviously some exit costs here where we should already taken about a year or so ago. From this point, we expect the revenue to grow because of the focus on Disney, which was our largest licensing partnership. We expect this business to grow from here, from this base, and also improve back in profitability back to the 14-15% that we were seeing earlier. So I think there has been a process of elimination of unprofitable licenses that we no longer sell. I think as emphasized in my opening remarks, I think that while the company is growing at a healthy pace, I think the focus now is also on profitable growth and improving the bottom line margin. So as a conscious decision, we decided to exit certain licenses and focus really on a few key licenses, which has resulted in muted growth. However, we're seeing strong momentum now, and the sales should pick up in the licensed brand segment going forward.
All right. Great. So just to summarize that, we had licenses from Disney, Marvel, NFL, etc. And now, but we are rationalizing that, and primarily Disney will be our major license.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, Disney sort of encompasses multiple licenses, Star Wars, and Disney. But we're no longer, sort of pursuing NFL, and Netflix and Harry Potter and all those licenses. It's going to be primarily focused around, the House of Disney and their brands.
Okay. And sir, if you can call out on our D2C brands, our own brand, we had in our previous older presentation, we had a lot of brands mentioned there, including, with Clarity, Jewel Lily, and then Hallmark, and then Rene. But some of these, if I go to Hallmark, everything shows are sold out, and Rene also most of that. So which are the most active brands that you're pursuing?
So Hallmark is not an own brand. Hallmark was a license. Is a licensing relationship, and it's one of the ones that we've rationalized. Even within the own brands, we are focusing on two major brands, Jean Doucet and With Clarity, which comprise the bulk of our revenue. I mean, we still own, Jewel Lily as well as Everyday Elegance, but they are much smaller. The two growth brands, I think, part of the efficiency drive that we've really focused on is zero in on the brands that are meaningful. And, as again highlighted in my opening remarks, the three brands that will be most meaningful will be Jean Doucet with Clarity and in the licensing segment Disney. And you know, these three and a renewed strategic focus on these brands will allow us to expand profitability and you know, grow profitability going forward. So the focus really will be on these three power brands, which comprise the bulk of our revenue in any case.
Okay, sure. So, and on the next question is on the Jean Doucet investment. I think we have a 38.7% stake. Now, in FY, in one of our earlier presentations, we had mentioned that in FY24, you know, Jean Doucet had 85 crores of revenue, while the flagship store, Hollywood, I think had 25 crores of revenue out of that. So the assumption is the remaining was, you know, was Jean Doucet's other revenue coming from other,
Online.
Okay. And now, so can, is it possible to share the number of the revenues or the Jean Doucet revenues for FY25 and 26? How much?
So for FY26, I think the brand after acquisition grew about 30%. And you know, I think we've sort of clearly laid out in our presentation that each store, as we add, should add between 25 and 35 crores of sales. Currently, we have three operational stores. The last store opened in San Francisco at the end of July, and there is four more expected to be opened during the course of the year. So, you know, as the stores ramp up, so will the revenue increase, and there is a corresponding impact of increase in e-commerce sales as stores open, because as awareness and visibility increases in a certain geographic area, so does the sales.
Okay. So this 25 to 30 crores of store sales is the store level economics, right? Our share of that will be 38.7%.
No. We currently own 65% of Jean Doucet. We had initially made an investment to buy 38%, and we had an option to increase it to 65%, which we exercised. So currently we are consolidating the entire, since it's a sort of controlled subsidiary, the revenues are recognized in full, and you know, the share that we don't own is sort of passed to minority interest in the P&L.
Thank you for that clarification. I was under the incorrect impression about the stake. And on the brand side, sir, the Disney brand, are we the exclusive licensee for you? Is that the same?
For fine jewelry, yes. For fine jewelry.
Okay. Thanks a lot for answering my questions. I'll go back and meet you. And all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pritit Shah from Vimalana Capital. Please go ahead.
Sure. Thanks for giving this opportunity. I just had a couple of questions. So first is around the consolidated margins that we have. So we've observed that there is a reduction in margins, gross profit margins, EBITDA margins. Is this an account of bullion sales? And if yes, will this continue to go forward?
So yes, I think that in the near future the bullion sales will continue. I think because of the tariff mitigation strategies, we're subcontracting some of our manufacturing in the US and in the Middle East. So the bullion sales, I mean, once you exclude the bullion sales, the margins once normalized, have seen a little bit of a dip. I think some of this is obviously attributed to a little bit of exit cost, as indicated in some of our businesses. So, I think there may be a minor dip during the year, but our margins year over year are down from 7.7 to 7.2%. And I think this would be comparable, and like for like, this reduction is on account of the strategic choices that we've made to exit certain businesses, which we've communicated earlier.
Got it. And the second question is also related to that. So if I understand correctly, our strategy is to reduce the B2B business, that is our customer's business, and increase more towards B2C. Now, this year, if we look at FY26, there was an increase, and even quarter one, there is an increase of 34% to YOY in this segment. So, do we, are we looking at reducing it from next quarter onwards, or where do we see this degrowth would start from?
Yeah, I think the degrowth should start. So, you know, on a sequential basis, the revenue should go down in Q2 as well. And it will continue to sort of, you know, taper off in Q3 and Q4. I think sequentially there will be a reduction in the following quarter. But I think, you know, difficult to sort of time the exit because, you know, the way we've chosen to exit some of these customers is since there is some amount of consignment involved is we're letting the inventory sell down. So difficult to time it exactly, but I would say that the best way to think about it is that the revenue run rate will be lower by 400 crores at the end of the current financial year. You know, it will kind of go down sequentially during the course of the year.
Got it. So thanks for this and that's all from us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Reminder for all participants, please press star and 1 to ask a question. Participants who would like to ask a question, please press star and 1. The next question is from the line of Dhaval Pandya from 47 Alpha Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes.
Yeah, congratulations on good set of numbers. I have two or three questions. So, can you tell me that what is the break-even figure of John Doe stores, like store-wise?
Yeah, so I think, you know, currently we've seen extremely strong momentum once we've opened the store. So, you know, obviously, it's, you know, we inherited the Los Angeles store, you know, when we made the acquisition. The New York store was opened in November of last year. And I think the store sort of became profitable January onwards. So, you know, again, short history, the, you know, data set is quite limited. And currently the way the San Francisco store is opened and the momentum that we're seeing, we expect the store to be profitable from month two or month three onwards. And, you know, currently based on the unit economics, we see a payback of less than 1 year, for the JD store. So, you know, we're very optimistic and, you know, obviously we're watching the numbers very carefully as we, ramp up the store rollout of John Doe meaningfully. But currently, as we see it, based on the limited data set, usually the store is profitable in the second or the third month. And currently, as we see it, the payback period is less than 1 year, which is, you know, excellent numbers from our perspective. And, you know, which is why, you know, the entire company is kind of focused around the rollout of the Jean Doucet stores.
And any further acquisition for the brand? If you have any in mind.
Yes, you know, we're currently, you know, constantly evaluating new brand acquisitions. You know, I think since it's a clear strategy for us to increase the branded space, you know, nothing to report yet, but, you know, we're clearly, you know, since the past, you know, 6 or 7 years, we've done 3 acquisitions and all of our 3 major brands that our current focus is on have been added to the company via acquisition. So, you know, if something, you know, attractive comes along, we're open to acquisitions, especially in the current year, given, the fact that we expect over 300 crores of cash flow from operations. This allows us some financial flexibility to acquire new brands. So, we're open, nothing to report yet, but, you know, when there is something to report, we'll definitely announce it.
Okay. And one last question. So, as you said that you are expecting 300 crores of operating cash flow, so how exactly are we targeting that 300 crores?
Yeah, so I think that you know, as is spelled out in our presentation, we plan to reduce working capital by about 250 crores between reduction in inventory and reduction in receivables. We've identified certain customers that you know are where the working capital involved is below the cost of capital, and we strategically made a decision to improve the quality of the business and meaningfully exit certain customers and relationships where, you know, the margins are low and the working capital intensity is high. So the decisions have already been sort of set in motion, and we expect to realize these working capital benefits during the course of FY27.
Okay, that's it from my 35-minute question. I'll join back with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Khushi Jain from Share India Securities Limited Institutional. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on great start of FY27. Just a question on the finance cost side. So we see there has been a good improvement in the balance sheet, but the Q1 finance cost remained broadly flat on year-on-year basis. So assuming the targeted working capital release is achieved, when should we start seeing a meaningful decline in the interest expense, and what could be the reasonable FY27 finance cost expectation?
Yeah. So I think that, we expect to obviously, realize these working capital benefits through the course of this year. I think so it would be difficult to pinpoint exactly, the cash conversion to these. What is sort of certain is that we definitely expect to realize these benefits by the end of the current financial year. I think you should structurally see a improvement in operating cash flow sequentially during the course of this year. So while we don't have exact numbers for finance costs quarter on quarter, but our expectation is that we will end the year with meaningfully lower net debt as compared to what we did 1 year ago.
Okay, perfect. So on the With Clarity side, could you provide some more insight on With Clarity's profitability and revenue also?
Yeah. So I think, With Clarity is currently at a revenue run rate of about 220 odd crores. And, it's growing at a healthy clip of about 20% or so. It's sort of a digital first brand, and, the focus really is on growing this brand digitally. Currently we are seeing, 20% growth, and I think the profitability will be in line with sort of our segment average of about, 12 to 13%. I think that with our own brand segment, we expect this, profitability to increase meaningfully over time as we get operating leverage, because a lot of our fixed overhead has already been absorbed. The technology team, cataloging team, digital marketing team, there's a sort of obviously substantial team working on this. So, as the current margins are, 11 to 13% for this brand, we expect that to scale as our operating costs scale. Both With Clarity and Jean Doucet, enjoy 60 to 65% gross margins. So I think, as these gross margins flow through and, growth occurs, we expect the profitability to increase over time for our direct-to-consumer segment.
Perfect. Thank you so much for that. And all the best for the next quarter and the year. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Pratik Chaudhary from Samarthya Investment Advisors, LLP. Please go ahead.
Congrats on a good set of numbers, sir. I have a few set of questions. First one, there's a pretty big forex loss sitting in your P&L for the quarter, almost about 13 crores. If you can, share your thoughts on whether we can see a meaningful reduction in this number going ahead, and
Darshan, you want to take that?
Yeah, so I think the forex loss is clearly due to the sort of the depreciation in the currency, and while we are hedged as far as our rupee expenditures are concerned, a large part of our sort of working capital is dollar denominated, which means that there's a natural hedge. So I think it's sort of just, on the accounting front, foreign exchange loss flowing through both on the revenue as well as on the expense side. So I think as, I mean, hopefully if the currency stabilizes around this level, we should see a meaningful reduction in the foreign exchange loss.
Okay, and then going forward, you know, in your presentation and remarks, you can maybe state EBITDA margins net of these forex losses.
Sure, we can explore that. We'll try to explore.
Yeah. And for the other income, around an 8 or 9 crore number that was there for the quarter, were there any one-offs or this is largely in the normal course of business, the other income we earned this quarter?
No, there's nothing exceptional to be reported there. I think it is just in the normal course of business.
And any inventory losses we suffered during the quarter because of the direction in the metal prices that we saw from Q4 end to Q1 end?
No, there was no inventory loss on our end. And as far as the metal price fluctuations are concerned, we are hedged on that front as well, as far as our long-term commitment to our customers is concerned. So even on that front, there's no major loss that goes to the balance sheet.
Yeah, so I think while there is no loss on the metal front, there is a slight bit of margin dip due to exiting certain customer lines. As we attempt to reduce our inventory and receivable during the course of the year, slight dip in margin can also be attributed to some of the exit costs as we're attempting to reduce our inventory and receivable during the course of the year. So while there is no loss due to metal price increases, there is a little bit of working capital loss flowing through the P&L as we sort of reduce our working capital.
Right. And just final question on your John Bissay venture. What are your store expansion plans for FY28? And also, would you look to, or is there an optionality to increase your shareholding above 65% in the next few years?
So I think, currently our business plan is to get to 7 stores by the end of the current financial year. And then the plan would be to add 6 more stores in the following year. Currently, that's the plan for 27 and 28. And, the option to increase our share of John Bissay would exist if the company needed more investment. So, it's something that we would obviously have to explore. Currently, that's not something that has been discussed at the board level.
So maybe for your store expansion plans in FY28, you might, that investment might become due, so is it possible that is when these things could get discussed or?
Yes.
Okay.
I think once we did an initial investment of $6.5 million, and I think that, as the fund utilization and retained earnings of this is discussed by the board, if there's additional need of funds, we would obviously be willing to invest more and increase the stake. But again, it's not something that has been discussed with the board of John Bissay, and having sort of a third party investor, that's something we have to discuss with the board of the company.
Great, sir. Great numbers, sir, and all the best for the future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Reminder for all participants, please press star and 1 to ask a question. Participants who would like to ask a question may press star and 1. The next question is from the line of Manpreet Arora from Arora Wealth Advisors. The follow-up question. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the follow-up. So you highlighted the goal of reaching 1,000 crores from B2C. By FY29. Now, just to understand, how do we So we have our own brands which are D2C, and then we have licensed brands which are B2B and D2C.
Yes.
So when we say D2C revenue, we are saying D2C from our own brands and D2C of licensed brands. Are these the two that we're clubbing together to say 1,000 crore from D2C?
Yeah, so currently our direct-to-consumer revenues are forecast to be about 375 crores from our own brands and about 125 crores from the licensed brands. So the base today is around 500 crores for the current year. And our expectation, because the licensing business has a direct-to-consumer as well as a B2B angle, so our plan is that the direct-to-consumer revenue, which would be around 500 crores this year, for that number to be about, our goal is to get to 1,000 crores by FY29.
Okay. Okay. And sir, going forward, so the customer segment that we are present is on the luxury and accessible side, and we want to grow primarily on the luxury side. Is that how we should see, or we are planning to target both the customer segments? And also, if you can, talk a bit about the competitive dynamics of this space.
So, sorry, I didn't really follow your question. If you could just elaborate on the first part of your question.
Yeah, so going forward, will our focus be more on the luxury side of the customer segment? Or, we will be present across both luxury and accessible, daily.
So, I think, we're primarily in the fine jewelry space. Having said that, we do sell a lot of silver jewelry as well. But primarily studded with diamonds, lab diamonds, and gemstones. So I don't think that we're seeing sort of a shift in the customer segments, because, there we're really targeting as, sort of an OEM manufacturer for retailers and brands. And, we try to sort of create white space analysis for our customers and present something that fit their brand. For our own brands, we sort of have a three-tiered approach, right? The licensed brands have an average order value of around $400. For With Clarity, it's about $3,000. And for Jean Doucet, it's $8,000. So, the three brands that we have target very three different tiers of customer segments, and that's how we kind of have structured our licensed and own brands segment. On the customer brand segment, we operate through the value spectrum from $50 all the way to $3,000.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shweta. Please go ahead. Shweta, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead. Shweta, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, the line for Shweta has dropped. So that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing remarks. Over to you.
Thank you, everyone, for participating in our conference call today. We thank you for joining us and your interest in Renaissance Global. Look forward to seeing you all on our next earnings call. Thank you.
On behalf of Centrum Broking, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.